welcome to Trinity this morning. Some of us know that it's 8:15. There are some others who think it's probably still 7:15. So it is great to see you all today as we spring forward. I'm Catherine Flutt-Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity, and we really do want to welcome you, whether you are here every week or you're here for the very first time. We are glad to be together. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and worship together. I hope that at some point during the service you'll take the connection card out of your bulletin and fill that out for us. You can also use the app and let us know that you were here online. If you'll give us as much information as you are comfortable providing, or if you're here all the time, at least give us your name and email. It helps us to stay connected to you, and we sure do appreciate it. Also, please note that the mission box for this morning is Call to Action, an organization that provides food for both locally and in other places around the world. And so as you leave this morning, there are boxes by each, wooden boxes by each exit door, and we invite you to support that very powerful ministry. We appreciate it. Let me invite you now to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them. Reach across the aisle this morning. Say hello to someone new.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together.
God, we are here to worship. here to declare the beauty and love we have seen and known in Jesus. We stand in awe before your throne and wait with joy for you to speak to us today. So speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Now let us affirm our faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. We enter into this time of prayer together. We want to first acknowledge that we know that everyone comes here with different things on their hearts and minds, joys that they might be celebrating, giving the praise and thanksgiving to God for God's work in their lives, concerns that might be burdening their heart. And so we will afford you a moment of silence as the prayer begins, that you can speak those specific things to God in the quiet of your heart. You may also want to let us unite our hearts and go to God in prayer. Continue our journey this Lenten season. We find ourselves still in the wilderness, still learning the way, trying to get better at following. Now we're even more aware of how much more we have to learn and how much farther we have to travel to keep up and keep keeping up with where Jesus leads. We seek to go deeper in our faith, deeper in our love for you, deeper in our love for each other. And so we pray, O God, that you forgive us where we go astray and keep us on the path of life. Because we know there are so many in the world around us who are in need, and that you call us to take action, to not leave things as they are, to help make things better. Pray that you forgive us when we go astray and keep us on the path of life. We continue to pray for our religious, political, economic, and social leaders. We pray fervently with our families and our friends and our neighbors. And we pray for those who sustain and protect our lives. Pray that you forgive us where we go astray and keep us on the path of life. We pray for all who need a touch of your healing grace, your healing power, all who offer healing through their skill and their presence. Forgive us where we go astray and keep us on the path of life. With all creatures, great and small, with whom we share this planet, for those who sustain our lives and those who threaten us, those whose lives we sustain and those whose lives we threaten, we pray that you forgive us where we go astray and keep us on the path of life. We pray that you receive the prayers of these, your people, most merciful God. In your compassion, forgive our sins, encourage us in the work you are already doing in and through us, and keep us faithful to our journey's end. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory forever. Amen.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and see the face of God and live. Not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you. Waters in the sea, you shall not drown. If you walk amid the burning flames, you shall not be harmed. If you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, I go before.
faithful stewards of all of us, and that we faithfully respond to where you lead and seek to go deeper into your kingdom work here in Gainesville and beyond. So bless these gifts, we pray. I am grateful this morning to have Bree Kerwin joining me up here for the time of the message. Bree is a member of the staff here at Trinity as the Worship Arts Assistant. And what you will discover today, if you didn't know it already, is that Bree is an artist. And so this morning, you will receive the message in both word and picture, because sometimes a picture can tell 1,000 words or more, right? You may find yourself paying more attention to Bree than you do to me today, and that's okay as long as the message comes through. But we will begin this morning with our scripture reading, which comes from the Gospel of Luke. It's in the 6th chapter. You remember Catherine making reference last week to the fact that in Matthew we receive the Sermon on the Mount, and in Luke we receive the Sermon on the Plain. And these verses come from the Sermon on the Plain that we hear in the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 43, and you can follow along as I read now. A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit, nor does a bad tree produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. People don't gather figs from thorny plants, nor do they pick grapes from prickly bushes. A good person produces good from the good treasury of the inner self, while an evil person produces evil from the evil treasury of the inner self. The inner self overflows with words that are spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. Amen. Among my fondest memories from my childhood are trips to Mississippi to see my grandparents and other relatives as I was growing up. Most years, we would make that trip, my parents and I, from Greenville, South Carolina, to Mississippi twice a year, once in the summer and once at Christmas time. And we would visit my grandmother and grandfather and relatives in Jackson, Mississippi, and then my grandmother and grandfather on the other side of the family in Ellisville, Mississippi. And whenever we went to Ellisville, one of my fond memories is of time spent with Grandpa in the backyard. In the backyard at their home there, he had majestic pecan trees, and he had abundant scuppernong vines. And so what that meant is that in summertime, when we would go and visit, usually late summertime when the scuppernongs were quite ripe, he and I would walk out in the backyard, and he had this wonderful kind of trellis that had these vines growing on them, and we would pick the scuppernongs and take them in as we had gathered them for my grandmother to use them in a variety of ways, including making jelly. And then at Christmas time, when I would go, he would have gathered up lots of pecans from the fall harvest, and we would sit on the back steps that went out the back porch into the backyard, and we would sit there together and crack those nuts and pull the meats, extract the meats from them to be able to be used in a variety of ways in the kitchen as well. My grandfather, as well as teaching me a thing or two about fruit and about harvest, in those moments also used those times to talk with me about the more important things of life. I was learning as we shared those experiences from the good harvest of his life, the kind of man he was, who he was, and his faith and his life and how his faith informed everything about him. And learned quite a bit, not only about trees that bear fruit, but about lives that bear fruit. Which brings us to Scripture today. You know, there are many places in the Bible where this image of trees bearing fruit is used. And often it is used in such a way as to tell us that the tree or the person will be known by the fruit. Now, in Grandpa's backyard, a pecan tree is a pecan tree is a pecan tree. And a scuppernong vine is a scuppernong vine is a scuppernong vine. In the fall, often as our children were growing up, Catherine and I would go with them to the mountains of North Carolina, western North Carolina. We loved making that trip in the fall and seeing all the foliage. And one of the things, you know, if you've ever been there, that you see is the wonderful and bountiful harvest of apple trees. Sometimes miles and miles of apple trees in those mountains. And an apple tree, there is an apple tree, is an apple tree. So when we get to today's scripture passage, what it seems to be saying to us at first glance is that a good tree is a good tree is a good tree. And then by way of analogy, Jesus goes on to say that a good person is a good person is a good person. Or does it? Wait a minute. Because when we look at other places in Scripture, when we look at the experience of our own lives and of the lives of others around us, one of the things that we realize rather quickly is that no one is good all the time, are they? Or are we? In fact, Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fall short. We are not always good. We sin and we need forgiveness. We fall down and we need to get back up and we need God to pick us back up. And the witness of Scripture is not about the goodness of humanity. It is about the goodness of God, even in our lives that are fraught with weakness and failure. Even Jesus himself, on one occasion, you remember, when the disciples are talking about him, the one who did live the fully obedient life, he says, "Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good. It is God alone." And if we go back to the example of trees, we also know that even a good tree can have a bad season. A good tree can sometimes become diseased. And bad trees, or seemingly bad trees, can sometimes be nursed and pruned and loved and cared for in such a way that they become fruitful. So a good tree is a good tree is a good tree. A good person is a good person is a good person. This is one of those moments when we realize that if we are to understand, we will have to go deeper. One of the things that we can do is to look at the context. Here in the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus has been talking about evidence and the ways in which our lives might reveal the presence of God within them. And just before this passage, in the verses preceding it, Jesus has told the story about not trying to point out the speck in someone else's eye when we've got a log in our own. Maybe these two ideas are linked. Maybe the reason Jesus tells them back to back here is to remind us that we don't need to worry so much about pointing out the bad apples out there. We've got enough to do in tending to our own selves. And when it's all said and done, the fruit will reveal both who we are and who others are anyway. And so we don't need to jump ahead of ourselves in trying to point it all out. So when we get to verse 45, I think we get a clue to where Jesus is taking us with this passage, where we need to take ourselves if we are to learn from it and grow from it. A good person, Jesus says, produces good from the good treasury of the inner self. In other words, it starts with your core. Now that word core has been used and come into common use in recent years in relation to our bodies. Physicians and personal fitness trainers and even common folk have come to realize that there is an important aspect of paying attention and giving emphasis to core health. When our core muscles are strong, when we exercise them, it has all kinds of benefits for us. And when we fail to do that, it is at great risk to ourselves and to our health. Because when we pay attention to the core, we are more fit, we are more stable, we are stronger. All of these things come into play when we pay attention to the core. Apparently, core spiritual health is also critical for our lives. Who we are and how we are tending to our core matters. Recently, in the wake of another mass shooting of children, I have noticed some conversations bubbling up, even a couple that I have been a part of, that are referring to the culture of violence in which we live. And the idea is that there is so much violence that we see and experience coming at us in so many ways that it can't help but affect us. There are movies and TV shows. There are video games and even the language of music. All present and portray violent imagery. Now, I'm not necessarily saying here that there is always a direct correlation between those things and what someone does. But what I am saying is this. What we feed on matters. It affects our core being. So when we feed on a diet of violence, we are more likely to produce violence. When we feed on a diet of incivility, we are more likely to produce incivility. When we feed on a diet of sarcasm, we are more likely to produce sarcasm. When we feed on a diet of lust, we are more likely to get tangled up in producing lust. When we feed on a diet of gossip, we are more likely to participate in and produce gossip. What are you feeding on? What am I feeding on? What are we feeding on? This is the question to which Jesus is turning our attention today. What are we doing and what are we feeding our inner beings? About a year ago, I picked up a little book that's written by the husband of a woman who actually was in the church as a teenager that Catherine and I were both at years ago, and they are now a clergy couple. And Roger has written a book entitled, What We Need Is Here, Practicing the Heart of Christian Spirituality. And Roger, in this little book, takes us back to just some basic practices of the faith. Spiritual disciplines that we all grow from. Practices that feed the inner self in such a way that we can be healthy from the core out. It's a wonderful little book. It would make a great small group study for those of you who are part of a Sunday school class or a small group that is looking for something from time to time. What we need is here. What we need is found in the words of Scripture and in time that is spent alone with God and in the community of the faith and in coming to the table and in being in life with the other. These things that draw us inward to the place where we grow, where we tend to the inner life in such a way that it can be healthy. Because what Jesus tells us is, that who we are on the inside spills out into what we do and what we say on the outside. The inner self overflows, Scripture says today. The fruit is related to the trunk. A good person is always a good person, is always a good person. We'll know. But we can certainly make it more likely that the fruit we produce is coming from a good inner core by the things that we practice. And here's the good news. Even if we have neglected the tree that God gave us for quite some time, there is still hope for us. It can be nursed back to health. When Catherine and I were living in Lakewood Ranch, there were a couple of trees that we planted along the way in the backyard, two Japanese maple trees. And in the early years, those trees grew and flourished, and they produced a wonderful array of colors in the late summer and fall. And then they would shed their leaves, and then they would grow again. About 5 or 6 years or so in, something happened. And those trees stopped flourishing, and we could tell that there was something that wasn't quite right. And at first glance, it looked as if all was said and done for those two trees, and that they would just need to be cut down. But we decided that we would call a professional, bring someone in for some help, and they went out and they looked at the tree, and they said, sure enough, they are diseased, but they're not done for. There is hope for them. There are a couple of things that we can try. And so he, along with we, tended to those trees for that next year, gave them a boost, gave them some extra attention and love. And sure enough, by the time we left to move here to Gainesville, those trees were again coming back to health. One of them flourishing, and the other one beginning to show signs of flourishing again. Even trees that have been neglected for a while, even trees that have become diseased and sick, even trees that have been malnourished can be restored to health sometimes. Growing? What are you doing to care for it? What are you producing on the outside or not producing? And what is it saying about the inside? You know, God has called us all to bear bear good fruit, fruit that will last, so that our lives might be blessings to the world. May we tend to the core. May we tend to the inner self, so that it will overflow with blessings. God, in the beginning, you created each one of us, and you called us good. Be with us on our journey back toward that state of goodness, back toward that state of being who you have created us to be, so that the fruit that we bear might show and reveal your image in us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who calls us and leads us.
transformed each one of us and made us good. And yet, when we turned away from God and our love failed, because all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God's love remained steadfast. God's love was a part of our inner core. And so in the fullness of time, God came in Jesus Christ to be with us. And it is through his life and death and resurrection that he showed us how to live, that we know that we have all that we need to be who God has created us to be and to produce the fruit that God desires for us to produce. We remember that it is through his life and death and resurrection that God gave birth to the church and called us to live a new life together. On the night before he was put to death for our sake, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table, a place where our very core is strengthened and fed and nourished so that we can go out into the world to produce the good fruit that we are called to produce. And we invite you to pray with me. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us that is here and these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his precious blood. And by your Spirit, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory, and we feast together at this heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Church, we pray. Amen. I invite those who are serving to come in and join us at the moment. Trinity, and in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place where everyone is welcome to come. So we invite you to come forward, come out the left side of your row, and come to the station in front of your section. Cup your hands to receive a piece of bread, take that bread and dip it into the cup, and then you may return to your seats by the other side. There's also gluten-free available on your side, and please just ask the servers, and they would be happy to serve you. As you come, you also are invited to spend time at the kneeling benches in prayer. It is there that we can strengthen our core as we ask God what it is that we need to do in our lives to be the people who produce good fruit. So I invite you to spend some time in prayer, either at the kneeling benches or in the seat. Please come. pray together. God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself for us. You have given us all that we need. And we thank you. We pray that we can go out into the world in your strength to share your love with all those who need. And in Christ we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand as we sing our closing message?
This morning at the next service, we will be commissioning a new group of Stephen ministers here in the life of Trinity. Many of you know that Stephen ministry is a part of this congregation and a part of many congregations around the world that are the folks who come alongside. They offer support and care to persons in one-on-one settings when people are going through job and illness, and we are so grateful to the persons who offer themselves in this ministry and this new group. Would you all come up here just so and stand on either side of me just so that folks can see you, because I want you to see their faces and know who they are. You will see these folks around the life of the church, and again, at the next service, we will be doing a commissioning and asking God's blessing on them and on their work. But will you join me in thanking them for offering themselves to be a part of this ministry through the life of the church? It is a deep commitment. They have gone through an extensive period of training